DVD continues here on 102.5 The Game. It's time to go to our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and talk to Mitch Light from The Athletic, college football editor, also reports on college baseball, and of course knows the scene here on the sports end. So we're going to pick his brain on a number of subjects here as he gets set to take in the Vanderbilt baseball game this afternoon. Mitch, what's going on?
Not much, Willie. You mentioned college football and college baseball, and this is going to sound like an advertisement for this company, and it's not. But through work, I just got access to a site called CBB Analytics, and it's like I might be on the site for the next like 3 days straight. It just has everything about every college basketball player, every stat, every team stat. Man, if I had this back in the day when I was covering you, when I was at the Vanderbilt Hustler, I could have found out Willie Donick's shot percentage at the rim, corner threes, all this stuff. I really could have dissected your game and maybe gone to Coach Fogler and said, this guy deserves to play more.
Man, we'd had to maybe have a pact that would not share anything with Coach Fogler if it hurt my chances of getting in more. Because that could have been possible, depending on the numbers. We'd have to go back in time on that one and just speculate. Shots just at the shooting percentage at the rim, I would say not a lot of data there for me.
But it's just amazing what the information available is nowadays. And you know, I like to poke around some sites, but this one's incredible. If any of the listeners have it, it's corner three, everything you would possibly want to know about every player and every team in college basketball. But I've kind of hijacked the conversation, so you're the host. Take over.
Well, I was going to ask you. Let's start with that. Based on that, how do the Vanderbilt numbers look, especially in light of that loss? I thought that was a game on Saturday that it was a coin flip by the end of the game. It really came down literally to the last couple of times who had the ball, who made the play. Tennessee made one or two more plays than Vanderbilt at the end. But how do Vanderbilt's numbers look?
Yeah, along those lines, I think A.K. Okereke said in the post game, he's like, it's a make or miss sport, and Tennessee made shots down the stretch and Vanderbilt didn't. So, yeah, it was a very even game. And that's the thing about Vanderbilt's lost two straight, and maybe some of the numbers are skewed in the Missouri comeback, but, you know, all scores, all points count the same. Vanderbilt has not dropped analytically at all. Like, the numbers still favor Vanderbilt. That's why you're still seeing them with, you know, 4 and 5 seed projections and all that. They're 13 in KenPom right now. I think they dropped maybe two spots at the most the past week from losing two games. So from a numbers standpoint, Vanderbilt still looked on very favorably. And the one thing a lot of is baked into that is they played the last month without Duke Miles. And I would suspect Duke had some good and some bad the other day, forced some shots, I thought. But as he gets acclimated more in the offense, I think we might see them revert. You know, the competition's tougher, but we might see them revert to some of their earlier season offensive ways when they were scoring a little easier.
You know, as you say that, it's ironic because a couple of years ago when Jerry Stackhouse had the team that had Liam Robbins, he got hurt right when they were starting to play well, and they kept winning some games. They had a couple of big wins against Kentucky, one in the SEC tournament, but their net ranking and their KenPom for that matter basically didn't budge, you know, for a team that was starting to win, 8 out of 10, 8 out of 11, with some great wins in there. And it frustrated the heck out of the Vanderbilt fans, and it definitely hurt them when it came down to the selection show. So now it seems to be working in their favor the opposite way.
Yeah, it's just from the get-go, this team was an analytical darling. Put up big points, big margins, but even some of the better teams they played, they still, you know, St. Mary's, VCU, still put up and just were scoring very efficiently and also playing very good defense. And one interesting thing is a sidebar to that. You know, we all like to talk bracketology and all that. If you followed last week, the NCAA had a mock selection committee where they invited a bunch of journalists up. They used to do this every year. Then I think they stopped. When we went back to it, the people who were up there said the net was almost never mentioned. They mention it in maybe what your record is against that. They use that to organize for quad one wins, quad two wins. But when they're comparing teams, they don't really talk about the net like they did 3, 4, 5 years ago. There's other things. There's, you know, they use KenPom now. Wins above bubble. Get used to that term. It's been around for a couple years. wins above bubble. Basically, that means how you would do compared to how a bubble team would do. So if you're like 13th in wins above bubble, if your wins above bubble is like 4.8, you're 13th. That means you are, you know, an average bubble team would have whatever number. I can't even remember what number I just threw out there. I probably didn't explain it the best, but that's going to be a term that is used a lot this year when you're talking about the bubble, because the committee is using it a lot.
Well, it's no question that the analytics is becoming a bigger part of this for better or worse. So we'll see how that plays out when it comes time to seed everybody. What about tomorrow's matchup against Georgia, Mitch? It turns out it's going to be the last home game because of the Ole Miss flip-flop after the ice storm. So this is a big, big game to recover and hold serve.
Yeah, definitely. And Georgia has been playing much better. They won at Kentucky. I watched all that game last Wednesday, I think it was. Showed a lot of mental toughness. You know, you gotta overcome the runs at Rupp Arena that you know you're going to see from Kentucky. And Georgia just made a lot of shots, and they beat Texas at home, and Texas had been playing very well. They've got some shot makers on that team. Jeremiah Wilkinson's averaging 17 points a game. They've got some size there. So, you know, Vanderbilt will have to play. You know, Vanderbilt will be favored, but they'll have to play well to win this game. And then, yeah, as you mentioned with the schedule, you don't want to lose this game for a lot of reasons, but you don't want to go into the last three road games of the season coming off losing two home games. So, you know, I don't know. Pressure's not the right word, but Vanderbilt will have to play well and really needs to win tomorrow night.
Now, Mitch, when you're talking about these teams within the SEC, to which one of these teams, and I know Florida right now is the best team if you're basing it on record, but they lost to a Missouri team who has looked really good at times as well. And each team has had their losses within the division. But which one of these teams you think or believe has the team that can make it the furthest in March Madness?
I think it's Florida. I think, you know, they are playing a lot better than they, you know, that Florida, that Missouri loss you referenced there, I think was the SEC opener. It was very mm-hmm. early. The one thing about Florida, you know, they've got great size. Their shooting is inconsistent. And that's when you get into the NCAA tournament and you got to win six straight games, it's very difficult, even with that size and their experience, it's difficult to win, you know, difficult to avoid a 2-for-15 from outside in their guards. Are just they're not consistent shooting the ball, so that's what scares you there. Arkansas has a extremely high ceiling. You know, Darius Acuff is among the best players in the country. Their point guard. They haven't been as consistent as you would like. They've laid some eggs on the road, but I think Florida and Arkansas, from a talent standpoint, are probably the two best teams in the league, in my opinion.
Now, what do you think about UT? Because they had a tough win here on West End this past weekend. This is a team that's been sort of up and down all year. But it seems like they're now catching their groove with their freshman Amen leading them. And this is a big team. So how far do you think this team can go?
Yeah, I thought Saturday's win was impressive because, you know, every win in the SEC sounds like cliche is nice and important. But, you know, the previous wins were against Mississippi State, LSU, and Oklahoma. Before that, Ole Miss. So they proved they could beat a good team on the road. Yeah, it's with them, you know, a lot of it's similar to Florida. They've got good size. They're shooting. I trust Tennessee's outside shooting a little bit more than I do Florida's. But Tennessee, and it's not just this team, it seems to be an identity with the Rick Barnes era. They're really tough, but they go through these offensive dry spells. And I think you can see that with this team. But I really like Gillespie at point guard. And Ament, you know, I thought Vanderbilt did a great job on Ament the other day, but you're right. He is really kind of coming into his own. He can get his shot off. He's playing really, really well. He's the type of scorer you can ride to, you know, three or four wins in the NCAA tournament. So, you know, they've got Missouri tonight, and you mentioned Missouri's got good size too. Missouri's been playing pretty well, so that'll be a nice test. But I do like the way Tennessee's been playing.
We're talking to Mitch Light of The Athletic. Now, Mitch, Joey Aguilar, he loses his petition to get that 6-year back. We saw Diego Pavia petition his, he got his back, and I'm not getting into the politics of it, but what does this do, if anything, moving forward as far as guys trying to challenge the NCAA and get extra years?
Yeah, everything's, I mean, you know, we thought we saw the end of it, and then, I don't know if you guys have been on the air, Chandler Morris, the Virginia quarterback, well, Chandler Morris, the Oklahoma, the TCU, the North Texas, and the Virginia quarterback, has just applied for a seventh year, and he's played 4 years in five different seasons, I think. I think he's going with the Trinidad Chambliss plan of attack, where he's trying to get a red shirt retroactively. One of the years he only played four games. So he's trying. So I think each case is different, and we're going to see guys try to get that extra year. I don't think Morris is going to be successful. There's talk that Castellanos, the quarterback who was at Florida State this past year, might try and apply for another year. So, you know, we're again, I don't spend too much time in the legality of it. We've got smarter people and other people on staff that deal with all that. But I don't think we're going to see an end to this. You know, A, these guys want to play football, and B, they want to make money. And so I guess I don't fault them. Some of it's getting a little ridiculous. But I don't think, you know, I think we're going to see this over the next couple of years continue.
Dare I say we have the makings of some guardrails with the Bediako and the Aguilar thing, even though Chambliss won. Maybe we have some kind of guide. I just hope that it gets to the point where not every person is like, well, I can get one more year. Let's exactly. see. Do I have a lawyer? You know, it's got to get past that.
Well, yeah, and there's some common sense involved. And I'm going to bring this up. This hasn't gotten much publicity. And I was wondering when he transferred, what the deal would be. A.K. Okereke at Vanderbilt is in his fourth year of college. And, you know, everyone knows his – well, if you follow Vanderbilt, you know his story. He showed up at Cornell as a manager. He played in four games as a true freshman. At the end of the year, 10 total minutes. And that counts. The redshirt rules are different in all sports. And I don't know the way it's exactly written in basketball, but because it was the end of the year and it wasn't an injury and not the beginning of the year, that counts against him. So I believe Vanderbilt is trying to get another year for A.K. Okereke. And from a common sense standpoint, he should be. He played 10 minutes as a freshman at Cornell. And he's only in his fourth year of college, so next year would be his fifth year. So it's not his sixth, seventh, or eighth like we've seen there. So that's something to monitor. That could get in the offseason. That could, you know, come up a lot, because I think in the court of public opinion, when people are anti all this, you know, seventh, eighth year, here seems to be an example where a kid, again, only playing 10 minutes total in four games, should be granted that extra year.
Oh, boy. We got a whole another one now.
Yes. Stir the pot here.
He is represented by Diego Pavia, who will be in front of the judge. I can see it now. Mm. Oh, boy. Mitch, before we let you go, quick thought on Vanderbilt and Tennessee in baseball. We have about a minute or so, but so maybe 30 seconds on each team. Let's start with the post-Tony Vitello Tennessee roster. What does it look like?
Yeah, it's talented. We know what happened to them last week. They lost two of three. The Kent State had not lost a home non-conference series since 2020. The bats maybe haven't been great. I like the starting pitching. I think that's going to be a strength of this team. So no need to panic right now, but clearly they probably need to hit better, and they haven't played a road game yet. The schedule's been soft, so we'll have to see. They play UCLA, the number one team in the country, on Friday. That's going to be obviously a huge test.
Okay, and Vanderbilt, you're about to watch them. They went 1-2 down in Texas. They've won easily against teams that they should beat since then. But how's it shaping up for you?
Yeah, I mean, the story so far has been the bats and the home runs. They're second or third nationally in home runs. You know, they feasted on some bad pitching at home, but they also hit the ball out of the ballpark at a major league park against some good pitching. Again, same thing with Tennessee. I think the starting pitching has been very, very good. You know, they were a bad throw from Colin Barzy away from being 2-1, and everyone feel a lot better about this team. So I like this roster as well. The story, again, will be, can they keep up the power against better competition?
Yep, just getting started. It is only February, but yes, we're setting the table for a college baseball season. Mitch, enjoy. I guess it's not too cold for a day at the Hawk here. Sit in the sun seats. That might help you.
Well, yeah, it's a little windy. This is one of those go couple of innings. I'm a little hungry. It's a little cold. I'll leave after an hour. So that's my game plan.
Oh, come on. You got to tough it out. You got to be tougher than that. Come on. You got to get at least five innings,
right?
In.
Are you in the studio? Exactly.
We're in the studio.
Is it warm
yeah.
in there?
It's warm.
Okay.
It's very warm. Yes.
I'm going to look at the analytics of this and say I'm cold, and I'm leaving.
It's just cold.
It okay. is 46 degrees outside.
46 degrees, man. Officially. That's what our analytics say.
It's always 10 degrees colder at the Hawk in February. You'd be walking across campus and it'd be sunny, and if it's February and you walk into the Hawk, it's just, it's you know, it could be frigid.
Yes.
There.
And That one I have to agree with you on, because having sat in that dugout for many games, for some afternoon games, whoo, it is cold over there. All right, Mitch, thanks a lot for coming on.
I'll talk to you later. See ya.
All right, Mitch Light from The Athletic here. Went around the college world right there. Mm-hmm. And when we come back, let's get a little more into the Joey Aguilar situation. Trevor Maddich is going to join us at 4:20. We'll get his thoughts on that and on the combine. There's a lot to discuss with Trevor. But in between, and I'd love to hear from some Tennessee fans about how they feel about Joey Aguilar and George McIntyre, who might have a great opportunity now to jump in and grab that starting job, a kid who played locally right here in Nashville. So how do you feel about it? 615-737-1025. We're coming back with more. And during the 4 o'clock hour, don't forget, a chance to win Red Wings versus Predators tickets Monday afternoon at 1 o'clock. Stay tuned.